came to the church there with Brother Vesley and preached with us. We were able to spend some time there with Brother Vesley, and my, oh my, what a great, great, great couple. Well, we are thankful to be back. Had a good time at the SLAM meeting. I was thrilled with the amount of people that came out, the amount of folks that are working. Please pray. I'm excited what the Lord's doing in the prison system. I'm not even nervous that it seems like some of the doors are being closed, but I believe when God closes a door, He'll open another one. And we're just excited about what He's doing. I've been asking the Lord for a long time to show us our part in the prison ministry here in Australia. And I believe Brother Vesley is concerned about his prisons, the prisons there in his area, as well as our public school ministry here. Brother Jeff was able to come. We're looking at adapting some of our prison prevention lessons to the Australian culture, to the New Zealand culture, so we can kind of slide in here. We don't want to bring in an American ministry. Can you get an amen? Y'all can say amen. I know all about it already. I know where I am. Amen. We don't want to bring an American ministry in here. We want to bring a Christian Baptist, Independent Baptist Helps ministry to help the Australians better reach the public school systems and the prisons. We want it to be your ministry, and we're just going to come up alongside the local church and do our best to help you. Amen? Well, you got your Bibles tonight. You can be very thankful because a lot of countries around the world do not have a Bible. Many language people groups do not have a copy of God's Word. And we should be very grateful that God's given us this privilege. If you do have it with you, turn to Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter number 24. We'll start back in the Old Testament, and then we'll hit the New Testament running. How about that? Amen? Y'all pray for me. I'm still kind of tired, still working on this jet lag thing. Landed about, I guess it was about 7:30 Friday morning. And Saturday night, or Friday night after church, I guess I went to bed about 10 o'clock, got a good night's sleep, woke up at 12:30, and stayed up all night. Took a nap at 6 o'clock till about 6:45. And praise the Lord, was able to get back to that bedroom about 9 or 9:30 last night and got another good night's sleep up about 2:30. And we're just fired up, ready to go. I'm not even running on coffee. Nobody gave me any coffee today. I have one cup this morning. I'm running on a little cup of Chinese tea from the Chinese restaurant. That tea won't do nothing. Nothing. I promise you nothing. But it is good to be saved. Amen. If you found your place and you're able to do so this evening with me, would you mind standing? We'll read verses 10 through 16. And I just want to bring a thought to you tonight. It may be more on the teaching level. I don't know. I might get wound up and preach a little bit. But I just want to give you some thoughts this evening that I really hope will be a blessing to you. Leviticus chapter 24, the Bible says, starting in verse number 10, "And the son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel. And this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses," a picture of the law. "And Moses' mother's and his mother's name was Shilohamith, the daughter of Dibri, the tribe of Dan. And they put him in the ward," they locked him up in prison, "that the mind of the Lord might be showed them." Put him in prison so he could find out the mind of the Lord. Verse 13, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head. Let all the congregation stone him." They put him to death for cursing the name of the Lord. There'd be a lot of trouble, a lot of people in trouble in this world if we were still under the law. Amen. Well, verse 15 says, "And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin, and he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord shall be put to death. Father, this evening we are certainly again grateful for the privilege to serve you. Thank you for the privilege to stand behind this pulpit, Lord. For 3 years, your man has stood behind this place, this pulpit, Father, and has preached the word to these dear folks. I'm thankful to those that have been saved because of this church and those that will be. Thankful for the work in the Solomon Islands, Lord, a burden from this church to plant another church in a different area of the world. We're thankful for it. Thank you for SLAM and the great burden that Brother Charlie and others have to reach inmates here in this nation. But now, Lord, as we come into this time of worship, this time of the preaching, I pray that you'd clear the minds. Lord, I know it's evening time. We can have a tendency to be tired and weary. But yet, Lord, I just ask you to allow us to hear what you'd have us to hear this evening, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you and be seated. I noticed that this blasphemer was sent to the prison house to hear the mind of the Lord. If I could tell you how many times I've heard inmates tell me that they were glad they got locked up because it was in prison where they would find Christ. But can I tell you, as we read this passage, the earthly sentence was still upon this man. He may have come to the prison house and learn the mind of the Lord. And the Bible really doesn't say. He may have been converted. We don't really know about this particular man. But I know one thing. The law was passed and judgment was passed, and this man died for his crime. We don't go to the prisons to get him out of jail. We can be glad about that. Amen. But we do go to prisons to keep him out of hell. We do go there to help them to understand that there is a forgiving Savior, and I'm glad we're living in the age of grace today. But the mind of the Lord was shown to this inmate. The mind of the Lord was shown to him by the law. The only way you could show a man the mind of the Lord in those days. You see, it was showed them. I believe they would take copies of the scriptures and show them, this is the mind of the Lord. I'm glad to report to you today that we have the mind of Christ. If you've never heard some of these scriptures I'll be reading to you tonight and preaching in this message, they ought to make you shout. They're incredible truths in the Word of God. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2, verse 16, 14 through 16, the Bible says, "But the natural man," that's the man who's not been born again, that's the lost man, the unsaved man, "they don't understand us, do they?" Did you ever notice that? Do you ever see how they look at us real funny and they just don't quite understand why you would go to church 3 times a week? Why you would give that church money? Why you would read your Bible? Why do you do those things? They don't understand because they're natural. "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned." But this is what I like in verse 15. "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things." Wait a minute. The world says you can't judge me. But if we have the mind of Christ and we're a spiritual man, the Word of God says we can judge. Now, that's not passing judgment saying you're going to die and go to hell, but it is truly a fruit inspector, if you will, or a tree inspector, because the tree is what bears the fruit. You can tell whether they're a sinner, amen? You can tell whether they've been drinking. You can tell whether they've been drugging. You can tell these things. It's easy to see. And then he goes on to say, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" Absolutely nobody. Job would say that in the great book of Job, that nobody can outsmart God. But here, the Apostle Paul would go on to say, "But we have the mind of Christ." It's in your laps tonight. Everything God wants you to know is between the covers of this black back King James Bible. Everything He wants you to know. And everything He promises us is in this Bible. And He is a true and faithful God. He's a God that cannot lie. It's impossible for Him to lie. But can I tell you this evening, His hands are bound by every word that's been written in this Bible. If a sinner's going to hear about the Savior, he's going to hear it because a soul winner tells him. That eunuch would be riding in his chariot in a desert place, and Philip would come upon him, and Philip would ask him what he's reading. And he would say, "I'm reading the parchments." He's reading in Isaiah. And Philip, do you remember the story? Would say, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he would say, "What, church? How can I? unless some man teacheth me. God's looking for some men, some ladies that'll be willing to help those lost sinners come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I want you to look this evening with me just a little bit about the mind of God. In Matthew 22, 37, Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind." That's everything you have. That's all of you, church. Jesus wants you to love Jesus with every ounce of being you have. Can I tell you something, young parents today? So many different times, and I believe I may have failed at this. I believe I taught my children how to be Christians. And that's a good thing. You say, what's wrong with that, Brother Van Horn? Well, I had the cart before the horse, if you would. Because if I would have taught my children to love the Lord, and I did to the best of my ability. But if you'll teach your children to love Christ, and being a Christian's easy. When you fall in love with the Savior of the universe, the one that gave his life for you, and you begin to understand his mind, what he's thinking, what he wants to do for you, then being a Christian's a piece of cake. It's no problem. Matter of fact, it's quite pleasurable. Amen? It's quite enjoyable. You can handle certain situations when they come their way and just happen to understand that God knows what he's doing. I'm glad God has my back, amen. I'm glad he's got my sides, my top, my front, everything. He's just out there for me, and I love it. I'm so glad. Now, the Bible says that, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus," in Philippians 2:5. We're instructed to keep his mind inside of us. Aren't you glad that Christ lives inside of us today, the hope of glory in Colossians? Because we have this mind, there should be no divisions among the church. If we all were like-minded in the church, if we all had the same mind, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:10, Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Don't you think the Apostle Paul knew that as the churches were growing and he would be bringing in different personalities into a church, that one personality might not like what this personality is all about, and one might like green carpet and one might like blue, and next thing you know, division. Boy, we've seen it. The devil breaks the church up from the inside. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. 1 Peter 4:1. Can I tell you something? In the days and times we're living in today, we better arm ourselves with the same mind. We better understand that the trivial things of the church that really don't matter, like the color of the carpet, and I like your carpet, by the way. Those simple little things really don't matter. But the same mind of the Baptist doctrines, the salvation by grace through faith, water baptism as a mere picture of your salvation. Amen? We have to keep these doctrines solid and firm, and we have to stand behind the man of God and understand that he's the one in the prayer closet with the Lord. He's the one calling your names out to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. He's the one that's meeting with the Lord in his study hours, asking God for the exact message for the people of the hour. He's the one that God has put in place to lead the sheep, to lead the people. We've got to have the same mind. We have the Lord Christ mind inside us. It'll keep the pastor and the flock on the same page in every area of ministry. If your pastor wants to have a soul-winning ministry on Saturday morning, you ought to come. Personally, I think you ought to have a personal soul-winning ministry every hour of your life. You ought to be concerned about souls no matter where you go and what you do. You ought to pass those gospel tracts out everywhere you go. I love my gospel tracts. I got one left. Remember what this is called, anybody? Gospel gun, very good. What are these? My gospel bullets, amen. Pass them out everywhere. They've been firing all around the world, amen. Get your gospel tracts out. Get ready to tell others about Christ. He said, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one of mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, Let each esteem other better than themselves. That's a pretty tough verse, isn't it, church? You know, that's one of the hardest problems there is amongst human beings, is we walk around thinking we're better than other people. We'll go into a prison and talk cell to cell to a convicted murderer. And you're going to think you're far above him, but I got news for you. In the eyes of God, we're on the same level. Because my Bible tells me in the book of James that when you offend in one, you offend in... We're all guilty before a holy God, but thank God for grace. The same grace, the same blood that saved me, a sinner, is enough grace and enough blood to save a murderer and a rapist and a drug dealer. It's the same grace, and God has the same love. And when we get to a place in our lives where we realize just who we are in God's economy, we're all the same. Maybe we could really accomplish some great things for the Lord when we would begin to think about that other person better than yourself. That's a tough one, isn't it, church? Come on, nod your heads like this. I'm the one that's supposed to be tired. You're supposed to be awake. There's a willing mind. A willing mind that allows God to do His perfect work. For if there be first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that man hath, and not according to he hath not. A willing mind. Are you willing to let the Lord teach you in this Bible? The verse that changed my life, and I may have said this before, but there's one verse that literally turned my world upside down. It was Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. I was at a preaching service just like this, sitting in a chair just like you're sitting, and a preacher, I don't remember to this day his name. I don't remember the name of the message. All I remember is the Word of God penetrating my heart so hard. This book of the law, God's mind. The creator of the universe, his mind. It's everything he's thinking. Raymond Barber, a great preacher back in America, would say, we have in our hands the divine library. It's the mind of God. Let's open up the pages and see what God's thinking tonight. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. God says, when you just make up your mind that my mind is the best mind, and you make up your mind that you're going to willingly follow His instructions on how to have a joyful, peaceful, successful, prosperous life, then that's what He said He'd give you. When you agree to do according to all that is written therein, for then and then only shalt thou have great success. And He'll make your way prosperous. I said, Lord, I bowed my head in that little pew, and I said, Lord, I'll need your help, but as you show me truths in the Bible, I want to do them. I had a willing heart, a willing mind. I just wanted God's blessing on my life. When we look around, church, this world's going crazy, isn't it? You see what's happening in Israel? Do you see it? And God's unleashing His wrath on nations, mine included. From what I understand, one of the most powerful hurricanes has landed in Texas. Well, go ahead, Mr. Obama, and pass a law and let the sodomites get married and see what happens to our country. Go ahead and sign a law, an Iran nuclear deal, and put Israel in jeopardy of being bombed with a nuclear warhead. And you just watch what God does in the news to the United States of America. It's exciting times. Prophecy is coming true. And I know the mind of God. I know what's going to happen. People are going to be saved. Amen? Many of them. But many of them will die and go to hell. We have to have that willing mind. Jesus will give you a right mind if you're kind of not thinking quite right and you have your own ideas. If you'll just get next to Him, He'll give you a right mind, just like He did the maniac in Mark chapter 5, verse 15. They found that crazy old maniac clothed and in his right mind. He'll get you thinking straight is what He'll do. He doesn't want a bunch of robots down here, but He wants an army of mighty men of valor that will take His mind, implement His truths into your life, and go out and fight the devil for His glory and your good. Amen? What a Savior. I hope you love Him like I love Him. Amen? If you choose to deny Christ and his teachings, he'll harden your heart like he did Pharaoh and like he does those, that crowd in Romans 1, when we see in Romans 1:28, and even as they did not retain to in God, or at even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. If you're not saved in this room and you deny God over and over again, my Bible says that he will not always strive with man. There'll be a day he'll say, it's enough, you're done, you get your wish. He'll turn them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. We must learn to trust him with all of our minds and seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind in Luke 12:29. All sorts of different attributes of our minds that God's given us tonight. We must know and be aware of the enemies of the mind. Can you think right now of an enemy in your mind? What causes you to think things that doesn't please God? That's an enemy of your mind. And if you're still hanging out in that area and allowing those areas to attack your mind, you really need to think about some things. Guard your mind. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. I'm glad he wants to bring you back. That's Colossians 1:21. In 1 Peter 5 and 2, we find that there is a ready mind. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, and not by constraint, but willingly, for not for filthy lucre, but a ready mind. A ready mind. We got to arm ourselves for battle. Do you have some truths in your mind if somebody comes and begins to attack your religion? What about if a Jehovah Witness comes up and tries to get you to join their church or wants to give you some truths? Can you tell them the simple fact that, wait a minute, I don't think you believe Jesus is God? Can you take them to certain passages in the Scripture where you show them that Jesus is God and that he is the Savior? Do you have your minds armed? Are you ready to go to battle? Peter wants us to meditate upon the Lord, reading our Bible, reading God's mind, to stir us up. 2 Peter 3, 1 and 2, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. Can I say God will only bring back to your mind what you have learned in the past? That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Amen. Stir your mind up. Don't let the devil stir your mind with the world's ways, church. Let Jesus stir your mind up. It's incredible when you fall in love with him. It's incredible. So comforting to know that we have the mind of Christ. But can I tell you, it goes much deeper than just having the mind of Christ. Jesus taught the disciples that he is in us. Jesus Christ actually dwells inside of us. John 14:20 is another one of those verses that, boy, I tell you, when I read that verse, we were having a little Bible study at our home. We had just a group of people, much like y'all do on that Friday night thing. Some young people just come over. I remember that. But they just would come over and we'd start in a chapter of the Bible and begin to read. And it was my turn to read, and I was reading in John 14:20. And the Bible says, "In that day ye shall know that I," this is Jesus speaking, "am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." I knew all along that Jesus lived inside of me, but when I read that verse and found out that I'm inside of him too, I don't want to give him an ulcer. I don't know about you. I don't want to make him sick. I'm inside of him. You know what that means? We take Jesus everywhere we go. He's with us everywhere we go. We're in him. He's in us. He's in the Father. I don't have it all figured out, but I got news for you. I don't need to have it figured out. I just believe it. Amen. And the good thing about it is, if we'll just understand that he is with us, he'll help us. He'll take care of us. He'll guide us. Look at some of these things tonight. I want you to see some things about the blessed Spirit of God this evening. I really do. I want you to see it. In John, that same chapter, John 14, 28, he reminds us that his Father is greater than him. Wow, did you ever think about that? You have heard now, I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. Wow. But now wait a minute, just think about it. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, according to the book of Colossians. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, John 4, 24. So Jesus Christ is the image of God, yet because of you and me and his love for us, he became a man. Do you ever think about the fact that Mary carried God in her womb? That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? But yet she knew that Jesus Christ was God, her Savior. That's what she said in Luke 1, 42. Her God and her Savior. Mary called Jesus God, and Mary called Jesus her personal Savior. She's the only human being in the world that carried God in her womb and carried him in her heart as well. But Jesus was a man. 100% man, 100% God. The man God would come to this earth and teach a handful of people, some disciples. Why would he just focus on those disciples? And as we would travel through John 14 and 15 and 16, the greatest chapters about the Spirit of God, we would then enter into John chapter 17, where the Lord Jesus would go into that garden and begin to pray and weep. The Bible says in John 17, read it, it's an incredible passage. He did not pray for the world when he was in the garden. He didn't pray for the lost sinners to be saved in John chapter 17. Read it. Don't take my word for it. But he prayed for them, the 12, the disciples. Why? It would be the disciples' job to spread the news that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And Jesus went on to say that he prayed for you and me too. It's pretty comforting. And all those that will be saved, that will come unto Christ because of those 12. Christ went to that garden and prayed for us born-again, Bible-believing Christians. He didn't have to pray for the world at that time because he was praying that you and I would just do our job. He said, if I can just get my Christian army to do their job, to live clean so I can use them as a holy vessel, to let me guide them by my Spirit, to help them to stay away from the evils of this world, and then to allow me to speak through them, as Acts 1:8 says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Unto me. What a tremendous verse. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. We just witness to Jesus, and Jesus takes care of the rest. It's incredible. What a truth. The Father is greater. In verse 23, we see that the loving Father in heaven will move him, Christ, to abide with us. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him. Boy, I want to be loved by God. I want to be loved by Jesus, and I want the blessed Spirit of God to love me. And we come unto him and make our abode with him. Isn't that incredible? The Creator of the universe lives inside of us. It's absolutely incredible. I want to look now for just a few more minutes this evening at some of the descriptive names of the Spirit of God, of the Holy Spirit of God, the one that Jesus gave to us when he left. He, in John 14, 26, is the Comforter, but the Comforter, which is the blessed Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. It's kind of like a mama. Boy, that little child stubs her toe or gets a little cut. They don't come running to daddy, do they? They come running to mama. They come running to me. I'd tell the boy to get over it, put a Band-Aid on it, and quit crying. Get back out there and play like a man. Amen. Mama says, oh, little baby, pats him on the back. You don't do that, do you, Miss Jan? No. Charlie does. It's exactly opposite. Woo! And it's on tape, Brother Charlie. You can hear about it later. Amen. But he's the comforter. He's the one that will put his arms around you when you lose a loved one. He's the one that will remind you of scriptures. Let not your heart be troubled, for in my house are many mansions. He's the one that will say, I really do have this. Don't worry. They're with me. Don't worry about being sick. I'm going to take you and put you into a brand new place. It's called a hospital. And in that hospital, there'll be doctors and nurses that need to see how a Christian handles adversities. It's Christ in us, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. He shall teach you. He's a teacher. He's an instructor. He's the divine professor. He's the one. Aren't you glad you don't have to open this book and try and figure it out by yourself? It's alive. Have you ever been reading it and all of a sudden it's like the words jump out of the page? Am I just crazy? I know my dad has a life verse for me. Anybody remember that one? Matthew 17, 15. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic. Amen. I know I'm crazy, but I've been reading my Bible before and it says, if the words jump into my mind, and I'm like, wow, Lord, that's incredible. Thank you for that truth. He'll bring all things to your remembrance. He's your reminder, your great reminder. He'll bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. But again, let me make the statement that he'll only remind you of things you've learned. Read the mind of God. Find out what he has to say. He's our testifier in John 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, the Comforter will never lie to you. The Comforter will never tell you anything contrary to the Word of God. If you have a spirit telling you something that something is wrong with this Bible, then you've got the wrong spirit you're listening to. Every word in this Bible is pure and it's true and it's real. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave them to us. And then he became flesh for us. Amen. But the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why would the Holy Ghost of God testify of himself? You can't get saved by the Holy Ghost. Say amen right there, Brother Van Horn. You get saved by the blood of Jesus. Amen. And it's the Holy Ghost telling you about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost is not going to testify of himself. We've got these movements out there, don't we, that spend more time talking about the blessed Holy Ghost than the blood of Jesus. I believe in the Holy Ghost, and it doesn't make me nervous to preach about him or talk about him. I love him. He helps me every waking moment of my life. But he testifies of Jesus, the Savior of the universe, the God-man, the one that created all. He is the answer. He's the reprover in 1 John 16:8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The word reprove has the meaning to convince of a fault or to make manifest. In verse 9, of sin, because they believe not on me. Verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. We have a lovey-dovey religion out there that's going around our world, trying to paint God as this lovey-dovey God that loves everything and everybody. Please don't look at me funny, because there's a God in heaven that is a judge, amen? And there's a God in heaven that hates sin. We had my mom was talking to me about someone came up to her and showed her a little picture. And there in America, you may have heard about that I know you've heard about the same-sex marriage and all that junk that's going on. We had a handful of Christian businessmen and women that are still fighting that battle, and I thank God for it. Did you hear about the cake makers out in Denver that wouldn't make the cake for the sodomite crowd? Did you hear about that? Yeah. Well, they brought this little poster by from their church and had a picture of that bakery and a picture of that cake. And at the bottom, what would Jesus do? As if to insinuate Jesus would have baked him a cake. I told her, Mom, I said, you go back and tell that person, I'll tell you what Jesus will do. He'd judge them. Amen? And if you think for 1 minute that Jesus Christ would have baked them two sodomites a cake, you don't know the Jesus I know. The Jesus I know went into the temple and turned the money changers' tables over and preached angrily, righteous anger, to those Pharisees and scribes that had turned the house of God into a filthy place of lucre. He's a God of judgment. Yes, he's a God of love. He died on the cross so all mankind could be saved. But you deny him, you're a God hater, and you go completely against him, he will become your judge. And he's not going to bake you a cake either. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I wouldn't bake the cake either. He's our guide. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. I've never heard him called the divine repeater before, but the Lord gave it to me in my hours of study. He just repeats what Jesus said. He doesn't have anything new to report to you today. There's no new prophecies. There's no new doctrines. It's all the same. And it's written right here in the mind of God. Salvation by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't be good enough to go to heaven, amen? And that water baptism's not going to help you either. You'll go down a dry sinner and come up a wet one, amen? Only the blood of Jesus Christ. He's the divine repeater. But then he goes on in John 16:30, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. You want to know what's going to happen next? Get your Bible. I'll tell you what's going to happen next. Before long, old Gabriel is going to get sick and tired of what's going down here, and Jesus is going to give him marching orders. He's going to grab that trumpet off the wall and blow that thing, and you and me are out of here like Superman, and we're coming back like the Lone Ranger on white horses. Amen. I'm going to take me a plain air ride out of this place. Hallelujah. Going to see my Savior face to face. Glory to God. I might just get happy and I don't even need coffee. And I don't want any when I get to the house either. I want to go to bed. He is our worship leader. He's our worship leader in John 16:14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Ghost just wants to show you Jesus. Amen. Don't tell people God loves you. Tell them Jesus loves you. Amen? It sets a whole new platform for the conversation. Whole new platform. Everybody believes God loves them. But when they hear that name Jesus, it's an important name. He has the answers to all the questions. Have you ever heard anybody say, and I've said it myself, boy, when I get to heaven, I want to ask Jesus this. Anybody like that besides me? I got bad news for you. Well, I got good news for you. It was good news for me. John 16:22-23. And ye now therefore have sorrow. Jesus was concerned. But I'll see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man taketh from you. Verse 23. And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Wow. I just learned that myself, amen. I love studying. I probably learned it before, but it's my memory I use to forget with, amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Well, why is it? How is it we'll know everything? Well, that's simple. That's in 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. When I called on Christ, 1 John 1:12 says what? He that receiveth him, you become the Son of God. But as many as receiveth him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The moment you received Christ into your heart, you became a child of God. You're his. You don't have to wait to be adopted in. You're his. You belong to him. You're a son. You're his. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. I like it when God gives us some things that we can know. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be just like him, for we shall see him as he is. Can you imagine that, church? How unselfish Jesus is. The God-man will make me just like him. I will be just like the God-man, Jesus. That means I'm going to know it all. That means last time I checked, I could walk through a door, hallelujah, and end up right through in there where all those 12 disciples were. He just walked right through. Wait, where'd you come from? Hey, Judas, come here. Or which one? Doubting Thomas. Judas has already hung himself. Thomas, come here. I want you to see my hands. Put your fingers right here in it. And look at my side. And then Jesus would say, you know, you believe me because you see me. Greater and more blessed are those that will believe that's never seen. But when we see him, we're going to be just like him. Boy, that's an incredible truth. You see, Jesus told his disciples in John 14:6 that he would send another comforter. This is the kindness of our Savior. The kindness of our Savior. And I pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter. Do you see that? Another comforter. That he may abide with you forever. Now remember, church, the setting. Jesus is instructing a handful of men. Just a handful of men. He's instructing them. He's telling them, okay, fellas, you've been with me 3.5 years. I know this is hard, but they're going to nail me on a cross. They're going to kill me. Don't worry, I'm coming back in 3 days, but I have to go. Because you see, when I go, I'm going to give you my mind. I'm going to give you my spirit. And my spirit will not be limited to my voice range. My spirit will speak to the hearts of every individual in the world at the same time. He said, I had to go. That comforter gives you comfort when you read your scriptures. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Does that not give you comfort? It sure gives me comfort. Our Savior was about to enter that garden. He was going to agonize in prayer all night and then make his way to the cross. And then his last teachings of the blessed Holy Spirit of God, he would offer that comfort to his disciples. He would offer these words moments before he would go into that garden and weep and pray in such agony that the blood vessels just below his skin would burst and he would sweat great drops of blood. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me, in Christ, you might have peace. And then he went on to give them some instruction. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Isn't that incredible? Absolutely incredible. What a compassionate, loving Savior that you and I have today. And he's given us his mind. I hope you'll take the book of John. I don't know how you're personally studying your Bible right now. I don't know what direction you're in. But why don't you take those three chapters of the book of John, 14, 15, and 16, and just simply begin to read those three chapters over and over again. And let Jesus speak to your heart in such a magnificent way. You'll be amazed what you'll find. You'll find in John 14 there was a lot of fear. There was a lot of fear that they were going through. I believe it was John 15. Then you'll see, get over here. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach a whole other message. In John chapter 15, you'll see the fruit of the Spirit of God. In 14, you'll see it over and over again. He dealt with their fear. Let not your heart be troubled, he'd say. He dealt with their fear. In John 15, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. He deals with the fruit. And then in John chapter 16, he deals with faith. He deals with faith. And he deals with those three issues because that's what every single one of us go through. Fear, he wants to give us fruit, much fruit, more fruit, all kinds of fruit. But the only way we're going to get it, church, is to have faith. Well, every head bowed, every eye closed this evening.